How to manage fear to become a multimillionaire. That's the secret. That's today's episode. Let's dive into it. Hey everyone, I'm Clayton Morris. I'm the founder of Morris Invest. I'm a real estate investor and recently retired from the rat race. The way that I was able to retire is because of real estate investing. My wife and I have been buying single family homes for a number of years in different spots around the country. We rehab them, place tenants in those properties, and guess what? Cash flow, monthly cash flow. So the vehicle that we use to get there to financial freedom is real estate investing. It's boring. There's nothing sexy about it. It's four walls and a roof. And often they're not going to win Southern Design Home Awards. You know, you're not going to see them in some multi-million dollar magazine. They're going to be 1,000 square feet little single family homes. And that's been the secret. But guess what? The way to build wealth, the way to get there is actually a little bit more complicated than that. So the real estate is just the vehicle that we use, right? You could, I guess, become wealthy with gold, right? You could become wealthy investing in oil rigs. There's a number of ways to build wealth. There's a number of asset classes that can help you build wealth. But there is one primary reason that millionaires exist and the difference between those millionaires and those people who don't succeed. My mentor years ago told me this. He said, the primary difference, I want you this to sort of soak in, if you will, the primary difference between a rich person and a poor person is how they manage fear, how they manage fear. I want to give you a little bit of an example. A few years ago, would go to get my hair cut at a local place, and I'm not going to name names, but when I would walk into the place, it was, you could tell, first of all, it's very cheap to get your hair cut there at this place, so it kind of serviced maybe someone who didn't have a lot of extra disposable income to go into a place and get a haircut. And it was very cheap. So I would sit down and the people who were doing the haircuts in the place, all they talked about were fear-based things. It was like a cacophony of fear back and forth among the women who were cutting the hair in this place. And I can recall even some of the men who were just sitting there smiling, they would play along with it. They would go along with it and talk about how, you know, life was out to get you. And she was complaining about her boyfriend and her ex-husband. And the whole time, it was all centered around negative. It was all centered around fear-based thinking. And why, I had to come in on Saturday, but even though the snowstorm, I had to come in because how else am I going to be able to pay the bills? How else am I going to be able to pay the bills? I had to come in, right? How else would I be able to do that? And so I stopped going to this place because I didn't want to be around that kind of negative talk. I don't like to be around negativity. I don't like to be, because we all, you know, we absorb that energy. We absorb that negativity. I stopped going there. And it's because of that. It was because of all of that fear-based thinking. But there is, again, the primary difference between a rich person and a poor person is how they manage that fear. So what is fear exactly? You know, I like to say fear is false evidence appearing real. Have you ever been in a relationship? And think about this years ago, maybe even pre-internet, but even the internet makes it even better now, right, to have fear, right? You can create so much fear if you want from the internet. So there used to be a joke among doctors that, oh my God, please, did this guy go on WebMD or did this guy, you know, when WebMD was just starting? Because people would try to diagnose themselves. They would go online and try to figure out, and then your mind would start to go down all of these deep rabbit holes about what kind of malady you had, what kind of disease you had. I can remember interviewing doctors on my show years ago who really thought it was a big problem. All of these people were thinking that they had some form of cancer. They had some form of, Crohn's disease. God knows what it was. And in fact, they didn't. But because of the false evidence, they're on a website and they read some random little description and now they think they have cancer. They think that it's true. And it's not. It's all false. It doesn't actually exist. But think about a relationship you may have been in years ago or maybe even recently, and the person didn't call you back. Maybe you were set to meet them at a certain time and the person seemingly stood you up or didn't get back to you. You can't get a hold of the person. The person is unreachable. And you're wondering, oh, is this person that I think we're in a, I'm a relationship with going to call me back? Does she not love me anymore? Does he not love me anymore? Whatever it is, right? Our mind starts to go down all of these rabbit holes. And, oh, I wonder if he's safe. I wonder if she is safe. Maybe she got in an accident. Maybe she was in a car accident. And you go down these really scary places. And then finally you get the phone call and like, oh no, I got stuck in traffic and I was in a tunnel, or I was in a meeting and I got out late. Sorry. Yeah. You still up for dinner tonight? Great. And all of that just like disappears, right? All of that, it just disappears. It didn't exist in the first place, but you were choosing to believe that it did. Remember a great story from Byron Katie. She's one of the sages of this world, really a sage among us. And one thing she told me in an interview, and she wrote about it in her book, Loving What Is, she talked about wandering through the desert one afternoon. She lived out in Arizona, and wandering through the desert, and she looked down and she saw what she thought was a snake. And she freaked out, right? She immediately went into that flight or flight response, right? She freaked out. And as she got closer, she looked and she realized that it was just a small garden hose. Now imagine, her entire body went into this type of freak out mode because she thought that there was a snake there. There wasn't a snake there. It just turned out to be a garden hose. But what if she knew that it was a garden hose all along? Would her body have reacted that way? Of course not. So it's false evidence appearing real, because fear is simply because you're not living with life. You're not living with the current present moment. You're living in your mind. And this is a lot of times why, frankly, poor people, they live with this fear of success. They create boundaries. So fear, what fear does is it puts boundaries around us. And it's because of fear that you build these boundaries all of the time, right? That, oh, I need to be checking my phone constantly, because what if somebody needs something from me? And, oh, perhaps I won't be able to get back to somebody in time. Or maybe I shouldn't invest in real estate because I've heard that you might have an eviction at some point. Oh my God, you're going to have an eviction? If you put boundaries and you restrict an area of your life, maybe it's public speaking. Maybe it's getting up in front of people and taking action. It doesn't matter. And again, I'm not just talking about real estate investing, but the common denominator is fear and how we manage it. Do you lean into fear? If you lean into fear, what happens to it? It goes away. I talked to my son about this because he would be scared of going to school or going to this item, going to this place. And I would often say to him the sort of Batman analogy that I would come up with. You know, what does Bruce Wayne do when he's facing fear? He runs towards it, right? He runs towards fear. Because when you run toward it, it just disappears. And most of the time, there's a pretty good explanation for something, right? Maybe you got an eviction on your property. Maybe rent didn't hit your account. Maybe something came back from your insurance company. Maybe you got any number of issues related to your rental property or taking action. It's how you. Does that mean then that everything you invested in is bad? No, we just have two evictions on two properties we have in New Jersey right now. Because of the holidays, it's sometimes a little difficult for folks to get their money together. So our property management team is working with the tenants to make sure they get caught up on their rent. And if they can't, and if they give us the runaround, look, I'm nice to a point, but then we're going to, you know, they're going to go through the eviction process. Well, that's difficult. That's not anything scary. But what if I never took action and got into real estate investing in the first place because I would have to have an eviction? Who cares, right? It's all a matter of perspective. So for me, who maybe, let's say I have one rental property, an eviction could seem like it's catastrophic, but it's not. Now, a person that has 50 or 100 or 2,000 rental properties, do you think that they even talk about it like when they get an eviction? No. So what is the difference? It's a difference in perspective. So what fear does, again, is it puts these boundaries around us. They're artificial. They don't exist. The women at that haircutting place, their fear was that this is only the amount of money they could make. And they better had come in, drive their car, perhaps even get in an accident during a snowstorm just to get into the facility to cut hair. Because why? Because how else am I going to pay the bills? How else am I going to provide for my family? So you may be safe, but the problem is you're even safer when you are connected with your everyday, your present moment. So the next time you experience these moments of fear, these moments that come out of nowhere that give that little heart palpitation and your mind starts going down a rabbit hole. Now, I've suffered from this my whole life, okay? So I'm you know, I'm speaking from a place of experience in this, that once you start to feel that little heart palpitation, you know what it is, right? You know what exactly what it is. You know, you can feel it, right? You get your taxes in the mail. You get a letter that comes in some, you know, maybe from some law office, you know, right? Whatever it is, right? The doorbell rings and you're not expecting anyone. Those types of things that cause that little heart palpitation. I want you just to take a moment and kind of lean into it. And one thing my mentor taught me was that if you lean into it, you'll realize that it doesn't exist. That this false evidence appearing real suddenly dissipates. It suddenly goes away. And if you think about a way in which, you know, we were meant to, we're biological creatures to fight against sort of the attack of a saber-toothed tiger, right? That when a saber-toothed tiger was going to attack us, we would commit 100% of our energy to fighting and fleeing, running from that saber-toothed tiger. It popped up out of nowhere. It's like when you watch a gazelle on a nature show, right? The gazelles, they're there eating and they're having a nice afternoon. Suddenly they see a lion and they take action and they flee and they run like the Dickens. But guess what happens? And we've actually studied this, that what happens is the gazelles, once they're free from that danger, that actual danger, a lion is about to eat the person or eat the gazelle, they find a nice place to relax and they go back to eating and grazing and taking care of their family. And their heart rate goes back to normal, and their hormone levels go back to normal. But human beings, we don't do that. As human beings, we continue to, throughout the day, be, you know, dinged with our cell phone. We get little items that, you know, little notifications that take us away, or we're driving and we get a distraction. Someone sends us a text message and we read it, you know, at a traffic light. And now we're down a separate rabbit hole of fear. So that saber-toothed tiger for us as human beings continues all day long. It continues nonstop, whether it's our boss, whether it's our spouse, whether it's the PTA meeting. It doesn't matter. But these things continue all day long. So again, the primary difference between a rich person and a poor person is how they manage fear. So you can plan your tomorrow, but you cannot live in your tomorrow. Think about that for a second. You can plan your tomorrow, but you can't live in your tomorrow. But right now, so many people are trying to live in tomorrow that they're not living today, and therefore they're allowing fear to drive every decision they make. Every decision they make. I want you to think about that as you invest in real estate, as you take that plunge and you start to put pen to paper and figure out what your family's goals are for the next few years and financial freedom. And maybe you're not in a position to do it right now when you actually get down to the numbers, but don't let that scare you. Just look at it differently. Turn the paper upside down and see how you can seek out the help, the assistance to take that action. But don't be living for tomorrow when you need to be living for today. And that way of managing fear is so important to your success. Again, I struggle with it all the time. It rears its ugly head sometimes for me. It rears its ugly head for, you know, priests and monks, right? It pops up from time to time, but we've got to be able to manage it. We've got to be able to manage it if we truly want to become wealthy, if we truly want to take that next step in our life. We've got to figure out how to do that. That's today's episode. I hope you found this helpful. I know, again, is my biggest struggle in life, and the fear of money, the fear of success, all of those things that I've had to deal with over the past 20 years of my life, and I've really gotten a handle on, which has enabled me to build enormous wealth. I hope that you'll take this lesson. I hope that it will help you start to build enormous wealth in your life. Much love to all of you. I hope you will subscribe to the channel if you're not already a subscriber. And we love all of your kind feedback. We have such a great community here of like-minded people. And that's like the thing. We like to surround ourselves with like-minded people, positive people. I'm all about positivity. So if you're not positive, don't hang out here. If you are a positive person and you want to help improve the lives of other people and you want to help improve the lives of your family and your community, this is the place for you. We'll see you next time, everyone, here on the Investing in Real Estate show. Now go out there, take action, and nip fear in the bud. We'll see you next time.